Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our call this Tuesday night. We've got some very important issues to cover as we're working through this 90-day program to take on our lives and this 90-day challenge to build success. So excited to be with you. This has been a very interesting week in preparation for this evening. I blocked out much of today to prepare for this evening, and we've got quality number 6, self-esteem, just about built completely, and I'm going to be using it as a reference in some of the highlights to share with you those things that matter most. I appreciated your emails this week, even those that came in just a few minutes ago. We are going to be taking this subject very seriously tonight because this is the one area of thought that is most troubling. This is the one that can be so deeply destructive because in the noise at this very personal level, this very deep intrinsic personal level about our own worth, about our own value, about our own ability, about our own belief systems, about boundaries and whether we can establish them and how we feel about our past mistakes, all of those thought processes can be so noisy and so debilitating. So it's very exciting this evening to be able to be with you, and my mission tonight is to take you in as deep as we can possibly go. Some of this may be very painful for some of you, but we do know this, that until we take this on, it's going to be very difficult to succeed. So I'm going to give you some techniques and practices, some information tonight, all in an effort to assist you in taking on your lives.
Hey, Dave?
Well, yes.
Lincoln, have you started the recording?
I have, yes.
Okay, thanks.
And it is recording.
I did not have to press 1 to accept the fact that it was being recorded, so I just want to double check.
Okay, great. Is that Shane?
It is.
Hi. Shane and Judy are with us. Could we take just a moment? We had just a wonderful experience this last week. Shane and Judy were part of the couples retreat that we held at the cabin. We went up Wednesday night, and we spent Thursday on the subject of commitment. We took about an 8-hour four-wheel drive trip in these Polaris Razors that we have and side-by-side four-wheelers and like little mini Jeeps. And we spent the day finding every mud puddle on the mountain. We just had a blast. And then Friday we spent the day on trust. And spent the afternoon on Bear Lake. It was like glass. It was just a wonderful day on the lake. And then Saturday we spent the day on intimacy. And Friday night, I don't want to forget that, Shane. We were up there in the mountains. We took the four-wheelers up into the trees, up into the pines, and built ourselves a campfire and sat around and talked about what matters most and how we can, as men, destroy relationships by breaking trust and what we can do to build trust in our relationships. Shane and Judy, would you take just a moment and tell everybody about your experience with the couples retreat?
I'd love to. It was Judy and I just have not come down off the cloud that we were on up there exploring ourselves on a personal level as well as our relationship on as a married couple. Judy and I, when we took that couple's retreat, we just wanted it to be a gift to ourselves to improve on the marriage that we have because we take pride and honor each other very well already. So we weren't necessarily going to repair a marriage, and there were couples up there from all different aspects from that standpoint, but I just committed to whatever Dave had us do on that retreat, and everyone on this call's been doing power sessions, and I knew that the environment that I was in, that I had the experience to be involved in a power session all day long. So I spent from Wednesday night until Sunday afternoon when we got home in one great big power session, and it was so energizing, and just thinking about it is so amazing. But some of the things that I learned that I don't think I could have learned any other place is just how wonderful my wife is and how well we work together, how well on a personal level that I'm able to deal with the things that could have built up in my bag from the past, and I don't typically catastrophize, but at the same time, the things that I engraved on my heart, some of them, in a way, I've forgotten, and so that does not allow me to relate with people as well as I can. But I had some very awesome experiences up there, and one of the things that I think that hit the most is Judy and I have gone through some things in our lives, and I probably should have let Judy share this part, but they said we did a little debrief after everything was over, and one of the things he said is that we have the opportunity to change the lives of our future family members in one generation, meaning that, you know, some families go through financial difficulties and pass that on to their kids and pass that on to their kids, and it could take generations to get out of. And the focuses and the efforts that Judy and I have made up to this point in our lives is what Dave said, was that we could change the lives of our future family members, our future generations, with one generation. And that was something that was very powerful through that weekend. So we made some great connections with the people. We bonded as a group and as individuals. And we already made plans to reconvene in a year, possibly later on. I mean, just I could go on for this whole call. So whether you may have something to work on or whether you think you don't, I would strongly recommend that you just take the time to allow yourself to serve yourself by experiencing the retreat that Dave and Ramona put on. It was absolutely the chance of a lifetime that should be repeated often. So, Judy, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to. That was absolutely one of the best weekends that Shane and I have ever had in our marriage. It was an incredible experience. And to be able to have Dave and Ramona open up their cabin and to share their toys and their fun and their experience as a married couple was absolutely phenomenal to me. Shane and I both come from divorced homes, and so to have that influence of a happy marriage and a wonderful marriage and the way that respect should be shown in a marriage was absolutely incredible to us, and it's awesome to know that we always have wonderful friends to look up to in that aspect. And, you know, an aha moment I have was one of the most personal moments was sitting on Dave's couch when we debriefed. And Dave, I think you know what that moment was, but made sure that at a different time. But, you know, I learned a lot about trust as far as, you know, trust begins with trusting yourself. And it doesn't matter if you're in a relationship or if you're doing a business or you just go to do something. You have to trust yourself before you can trust anybody or anything. And if anything, you know, as far as business goes, since we're all in a business, if you want your business to work and you're going to trust in the business, you have to trust in yourself first. And, you know, the second day, Dave was saying that we talked about trust, and we went out and we went on the boat and we did some kneeboarding and wakeboarding and rode on some skis as well. That's not my favorite thing to do, but I totally just gave into the moment and did it, and I had an absolute ball. I did something I've never done before. I have the bruises to show it. I have the owie ribs to prove that we bounced on the tube quite high. But to come home and be able to tell my kids and to be able to know that because I made a commitment to myself and to my sweetheart and to my eternal companion, my kids' lives are going to be better, and their kids' lives are going to be better. And that absolutely was just a phenomenal time for me. And, you know, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be just cupcakes and ding-dongs from here on out. We're absolutely going to have things come up, and we're going to have to work on them. But to know that we have the tools and the ability to do that and to change and to be able to choose. I get to design my life. I get to design how it works out. I get to choose. And I can either come over here and I can catastrophize about stuff. Because when we came home, Shane and I had a big old 1-2 in our face when we got home Monday morning. And, you know, I could have catastrophized about it. But what was so awesome is we were in such an incredible space, and we chose to stay in that space. And we're still in that space. We chose to not, as Dave has taught us, to go over here and catastrophize and think about, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do, blah, blah, blah. So it was so awesome to be able to have those tools. And, Dave, I just cannot thank you and Ramona enough for your hospitality, for your sweetness, for your words, for your kindness. And your wife is just an amazing woman. You're a lucky man to have her by your side. So thanks for allowing us to share.
You know, Dave, I want to take the opportunity to elaborate just a little bit farther, because what happened yesterday morning was a very powerful experience, and I'm compelled to expand on that just a little bit, because when I came home Sunday, I had an appointment with my supervisor on Monday morning, and with this economy and this time frame, the last 8 weeks, a Monday morning meeting with the supervisor has not proven to be very exciting. And sure enough, I went in there Monday morning and I was laid off.
Oh.
And I came home Monday morning early, and Judy said, "You're home early. Should I be worried?" And I said, "Well, not necessarily, but I got laid off." And we took some time to reflect on it. And ask if there's anything, we kind of talked through the situation, and our focus from that to what's our next plan. And within 2 hours, we had our new game plan established as being full-time business owners with the company that we're involved with, and we have been nothing but full bore Monday and Tuesday, just focusing on our production and focusing on our mindset. Are we scared and nervous about what might lie ahead? Yeah. But we're not letting it paralyze us, and I totally believe that weekend that we had was the final moment to prepare us for that. And when we came home and talked to some of our closest friends, one of them who's in the same business we are, he congratulated us. I told him what happened. He says, "Congratulations," and then he said that you guys have been prepared for this moment, and I totally believe that. Judy totally believes that. We've worked our tails off basically part-time for the last 2 years to be prepared for this moment. So we're planning on being the producers that we've always wanted to be on a full-time basis with our business. And we're not looking back. We're not looking too far ahead. We're focusing on what we have to do right now. And the coaching and the training that you've been able to give to us has totally just prepared us for that. So we're full steam engines ahead and ready to roll. So I want to expand on that, because that was a very significant situation that we went through just yesterday.
Oh, my. You took my breath away when you said it, because we talked about those kind of moments over the weekend, and wait to be. There are people on the phone, Shane and Judy, who are going through some very, very difficult times. And I want to thank you for all that you said before you even discussed the fact you'd been laid off yesterday, so other people can hear that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what circumstances are occurring, no matter what you may have lost in the process, you can choose. You can choose to think differently about this, have a different energy about it. And as you said, you're still a little nervous, a little scared, but you're not going to go over into that catastrophe place, because every time we go over there, we're going to waste a day, and we don't have a day to waste. If you've got challenges in your life, you do not have a day to waste, not one. So you're going to want to go back into these principles. And I got to pause for a second, because Judy, you said something about Ramona. I need to acknowledge my sweetheart. She makes this possible, everybody. She makes this possible. I know some of you don't have that kind of a relationship. If there's anything that I can do, please let me know. We're going to try to do another, try, that's not a good word. We're going to do another couples retreat in the winter when we'll do four-wheeling. So if anybody wants to do that, I know that Judy and Shane, they talked to me, was it when you first got in the business almost 2 years ago, you said, "We want to do a couples retreat," and you saved and you saved, and when you made some money in your business, you paid the tuition to go to the couples retreat, and you did it the right way. You didn't spend a credit card. You spent money you had in the bank. you want to do something with your marriage, next January, February, we'll do a couples retreat, and then we'll do another one in the summer when it warms up in July and August. Start planning. Start planning now with your spouse. It'll give you another reason to work hard to generate the revenue necessary to create security in your life and to be able to have that kind of an opportunity. If you want to have any questions, call the office, and you can ask. I don't want to use this time to be selling an event because that's not its purpose. But those who go do have life-changing experiences, and it's interesting, Shane, while you're talking, I got a text from one of the people that was there who was having some of the greatest challenges. And just so you know, we had one couple with us the last two nights that stayed over, and another that's doing really well. So the good news is that it's those who came with real challenges in just the relationship itself, or those things are mending. So what a great thing. Thank you for sharing. Now let's have everybody press *6 so that we can mute our phone. Hi, Tanya. I just heard you say, you heard your voice. Welcome. Let's all press *6. If you want to make a comment as we're going through this process, just press *6 again. Come off of mute. Call me, Dave, until I acknowledge you. We'd love to have your comments as we're going through this process. I am concerned that some may have such limited time to create success that we might get frenetic, we might get panicky, we might lack the focus to stick to the principles. I'm going to plead with you tonight to stick with the principles. It is the fastest way to success. Shane and Judy got to see inside Ramona's in my life. You want to have these kinds of relationships and this kind of a life. I believe you do. And it requires, even now, consciously on a daily basis, fighting through thought processes that could sabotage. I'm not exempt from those thoughts. The only difference is I trust these principles enough to surrender to them quicker so that I don't get sabotaged for days at a time. I might have an hour now and then. And you're going to want to get to that space as quickly as you can, because the quicker you get there, the faster you will intentionally create a different life. We're talking about tethers that hold us back, these thought processes that are burdens in our life. So go back and listen to the quality of connecting with people and practice that intrinsic validation. You know that self-esteem we're going to talk about today is going to show up. It's going to get in the way. That's okay, because you'll get to see why these thought processes are just a nuisance. They're just a nuisance to success. And we've been wallowing in them, snorkeling in the manure of them, just burdened by them, victimized by them. And it's time so that we can, in fact, connect with other people, focus on them. Because as soon as we can do that, the more quickly our business will grow exponentially. We want to learn, go in, study those goals and expectations so you can learn how to control your thought processes. And you'll know that self-esteem, these thought processes we're talking about today, are going to bombard all of that. You can't do that. You're not capable of doing that. Who do you think you are? We know that procrastination and actually completing tasks is driven primarily by the thoughts related to self-esteem. This is like the hub of all the horrible issues. So let's go in and talk about what causes low self-esteem. I want to start there so that we can get really clear on the causes. There are several, but there are two major causes. Now, you've heard me talk about the fact that you have thought processes that create very vivid visualizations. You could visualize without damage, except for you have two thought processes, analytical and goal-oriented on your assessment. Most of you have those orange and red, one or the other or both. Very active minds that are constantly churning. You have to be hyper-vigilant where you spend your time. Can you imagine where Judy would be if she went into this catastrophizing? She finds out that her husband's been laid off. Can you imagine? Oh, could be buried in that place. So with this very vivid visualization, we have to be very careful how we spend it. Well, the problem is that most of us have had some challenges in our life. There are those on the phone who have had serious and significant losses health-wise. There are those on the phone who have had significant losses in terms of relationships and in personal possessions. Some are having tremendous pain, and when we have that, we just want to be free from it. We want to be free. We want that life without stress. And so we have a tendency to use that vivid visualization to escape and avoid to a time when things will be different, then I'll be okay. And the instant we do that, we create an expectation. Now, I've said this many, many times. Now, you're going to see the source into self-esteem. Because here we are creating this vivid visualization, this expectation, this non-negotiable concrete condition for happiness. The mind is locked into this as its reality. Just know that's what happens with the thought process that 97% of you have. Now, you step into reality, tangible reality where we live. We bring that expectation as a measuring stick, and we use it to measure the value of everything in our lives. Our relationships are compared to the expectations we have for a relationship. Our finances are compared to the expectation we have in our mind for our finances. The state of our business is compared with the expectations we have in our mind. Now, I keep emphasizing in our mind because that's the only place that exists. But it is so real that we discount the value of everything that is. One is in our mind, one is real, but we're discounting the reality. This is not where I thought I'd be at this point in my life. This is not what's supposed to be happening by the time I got to this age. This isn't what's supposed to happen in my profession with my business. I've been doing this now for 6 months. I've been doing this now for 2 years. By now, I'm supposed to be making $100,000 a month. What is, you hear where I'm headed? What is wrong with me? This is the number one cause of thought processes, internal thought processes, self-esteem, the destructive thought processes, the number one cause is that expectation. When I talk to you about using your mind five constructive ways to create passion, not only do I want to see you create passion that'll drive your discipline, focus, effort, and action, I want you to eliminate expectations that are crushing your self-esteem. I remember in a group coaching session, somebody came off the line and said, matter of fact, I've got it here. This is a quote. Finally, I understand. I was raised in a good home and have supportive parents. I never had any real traumatic things happen to me, yet my self-esteem is in the toilet. Referencing what I just explained, he said, that is exactly what I've been doing. Finally, I know why I feel so worthless. Expectations brought into reality. Everything is falling short. Many of you are having challenges in your life, but I can promise you, the very fact you're on this call, you're better off than most, as bad as it is. Now, I don't want to minimize your pain. It's just the truth. And we have a tendency to discount all the good in our life and look at just the bad in comparison to our expectations. And that is the single greatest cause of self-esteem challenges. So if we want to start healing self-esteem, we're going to want to start using our mind those five constructive ways and as Judy so beautifully stated, not go over into that place over there. And I keep looking over to my left every time she said it, because that's where I see it, that place we slide into, that slippery slope into discouragement and frustration and catastrophe and worry, where Og says we torment ourselves over things that may never come to pass. We just don't want to go there. So use your mind five constructive ways. If you're having, if there's nothing that's been in your life, nothing traumatic such as, well, let's go through the second cause. Then you'll know what the other possibilities are. The second biggest cause for low self-esteem is an absence of personal identity. An absence of personal identity. And the most common contributors include a lack of proper nurturing during developmental years. You may have grown up in a dysfunctional home where your mother or father were physically or emotionally or even sexually abusing. Or there's other family members or somebody in your life who was abusive and you were not protected from that. We know that when those things occur, certain building blocks of life just don't get put in their proper place. I bear witness to you from my own life that they can be built. They can be. But for these to be built, we have to do something very special, very difficult to do, but it is possible. So if you've gone through a situation where there's been a lack of proper nurturing during your development years, perhaps your parents got divorced and you were a pawn in the settlement, or you were abandoned by a parent or both parents, or you're emotionally or physically or sexually abused, or you've been in an abusive relationship as an adult where you were not validated, you were put down and put down and put down until you've actually started to believe that that's the truth. Short term, it can happen from a job loss if we're not careful. Serious financial setbacks, the loss of a lifestyle can sometimes impact us if our things were our identity. Now we've lost our identity. We've lost our stuff. That was my cause back in 88 and 89 when I lost those millions of dollars. I lost me. Yeah. Where's my Rolex watch? Where's my Ferrari? Where's my Mercedes? Where's my 40-foot Bluebird motorhome? Where's my housekeeper, my gardener, the tennis coach? That was me. That's who I was. My identity was what I owned. And when what I owned was taken away, I had no identity. It had to be rebuilt. We can have clinical depression. Some may be suffering illnesses that require medical intervention. If you're suffering from depression, go and get some assistance. There is no shame in depression. People will tell you this, and it's true. If you got a cold or the flu, you're not going to be ashamed. I know enough about how brain chemistry works to know that there are places in the brain where there can be an excess of cortisol release, fear dendrites, dopamine, all kinds of possibilities. And these drugs help regulate the release of those things so that you can have a more normal life. Absent that, a little teeny thing can cause that ligand or neuropeptide to be released in such a chronic dose that Hercules couldn't overcome it. And Hercules wasn't even real. So if you're having troubles with clinical depression, with depression, go find out if you need some assistance. Don't try to do this on your own. You don't gut out depression. You might gut out a sprained ankle if you're playing tennis or something, but you don't gut out depression. Then some have had some serious health challenges, all the way to loss of limbs, really painful losses. And hanging on to and wishing it were different and feeling less than because of. And one that is not frequent but is certainly present, and that's when a woman is raped. That's a really traumatic event, to be sexually molested, to lose control when you're an adult, and have someone take that over from you. These are things that cause us to lose our personal identity. Now, if there's anyone on the phone that's in the middle of one of those that I've mentioned, and you're just stuck, please go and talk to a therapist. Coaching is designed for those who are saying, okay, that's not coming back, or that's not changing, or I can't take back the past, but I can. I can engrave this on my heart, own it, and use it to serve others. I'm ready to move forward. That's when a coach is involved. In terms of processing these traumas, it needs to be done in the hands of a skilled therapist. They're just too sensitive. But those are the two primary, the big causes of self-esteem. Unmet, unrealistic expectations. That's the primary cause of self-esteem challenges. And the second, the loss of personal identity. The first, we can absolutely coach through. Parts of the second one we can. Some of those, if you need some processing, please see a professional therapist. There is no shame in it. They're trained. If you get a good one who is trained to assist you in processing through this and getting some equilibrium, there are all kinds of stages of grieving and anger, and we can't shortcut some of those. Not as human beings, we can't. We need to go through those stages, and it's best done in the hands of a good professional. But now we know the two major causes. And I've dedicated a lot of my life to this in the section on these loss of identity. I spend some time in this program talking about the child abuse program that I wrote and directed and produced called Come In From the Storm that starred Emmanuel Lewis when he was the People's Choice Award winner and back in 87 and Bumper Robinson from Night Court and Small Wonder, the TV star, and just had some wonderful actors, and we did a series on emotional, physical, and sexual child abuse. I put in this program three of the songs that I wrote for the movie, just so you could hear them. One is called Just Ran Out of Time, and the other one's called Come In From the Storm. It's an invitation to say, if you're out there in the cold and it's been miserable, come in from the storm. It's time. Now, once we know it's time for us to do something about it, the objective is to be real. Be real and genuine and authentic, without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. That's the objective. Dr. Hartman, who wrote the mathematics for our assessment, said that this is the hardest task in our mortal existence and the highest level of maturity. I used to think that maturity and age had some relationship with one another, and they don't. Just making a note. Maturity occurs when we finally step back and get beyond ourselves and start focusing on other people. Being real and genuine and authentic, I'm going to read a paragraph. It says, the vast majority of people in the Western culture are driven by the need to be perfect, while thinking that it is selfish, egotistical, or even prideful to acknowledge or celebrate their own goodness. Now listen to this sentence. The most selfish thing you can do is to be consumed with fear, self-doubt, self-criticism, and concerns about your own inadequacies. That's the most selfish thing a person can do. Because when we're preoccupied with these negative thoughts, we rob ourselves and everyone around us of our greatest gifts and talents. If you've got your assessment handy, look at the top measurements on both sides of the graph. One is called empathetic. That's being able to see the pricelessness in another person. Integrus is about being whole and complete. It's seeing the goodness in ourselves. Most of us are more capable and willing to see the goodness in others than we are in ourselves. It's like we have a different set of rules that we have to abide by. we give other people more slack and forgiveness than we give ourselves. This is really challenging. Here's a little technique I want you to think about from now on. When anybody acknowledges what you've done, simple acknowledgement, I want you to look them in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you. That's it. Because if our self-esteem is challenged, we kind of waffle and we try to explain away the event or the value of our participation. Why? Say thank you. Thank them for noticing and appreciating the value of your contribution. Now, I want to talk about each one of these words a little bit, starting with real. Real is the root word for relationships. So just write that down. Real is the root word for relationships. When we are real, we connect with others. We want to step into their world, take down their walls of resistance. We do not just notice others, we actually feel with them. You can't feel what somebody else is feeling if you're consumed in your own crap. It just won't work. It's when we choose to use our empathy, our life experiences, as a tool to better understand what others are experiencing. We are a safe place. So to be real, we are outwardly focused in connecting with others. This is extremely healing. This is one of the primary ways to heal yourself. In the section on connecting with people, there's the Chicago Dream. I tell the dream of the Chicago Dream where I'm dragging a sack behind me and being able to see someone else dragging their sack and being able to ask the questions, knowing the questions to ask, knowing how to hold all that pain from my past in my heart as you can. Because as soon as you do that and you use your life experience to assist another person, your soul will begin to heal. Now, I want to speak to one person on the phone. It will apply to all of you because I'm going to do it kind of in code. And I do it with all the love in my heart because I can't take away this person's pain. Matter of fact, nobody can give her back what she lost. No one. It's gone. And it's a daily reminder when she looks and sees. It's gone. It's just gone. When we carry that anger and that frustration, and it permeates our life, it makes us angry and frustrated, everything becomes harder than it needs to be. I read your email in great detail. I must tell you, I wept when I finished. I could feel your pain. And what I knew was this. There is a lot that needs to be done in the day. And you are working very hard to do it. In fact, you may be working harder than you need to. Because when we come to it with that heaviness, with that anger, with that have to, that should, that must, that so many of us are bringing to our daily tasks, when we come with that kind of energy, the very chemicals that are released in our body are wearing out the cells in our body. We are exhausting ourselves beyond just the effort needed for the task. It becomes twice as hard to stay focused, twice as hard to do the task for that length of period of time. Oh, the day will come, and it will change your life when you start looking at others who have had that loss and you seek to bring them comfort. So long as you're seeking it for yourself, nothing is going to change, nor can you heal. That's tough, tough, tough medicine. Painful to deliver, but true for everyone on this phone. So long as we are in our own pain, surrounded by our own victimness, we will never heal. We will carry chemicals in our bodies that make everything harder than it must be. So I share with you, to be real will be to start focusing on those seven principles of intrinsic validation with all of your energy, looking for the good in others, what's important to them, and then acknowledging it and listening for doors and stepping into their world and taking down their walls of resistance. Being in that space, knowing the words to say, going to bed knowing you've lifted somebody's life. They're better off for having met you today. We did not suck energy out of them. We inspired them and breathed life into them. That's when our self-esteem begins to heal. It's one of the great ways to heal self-esteem. So that is this first piece. Now, if you want to check in your assessment, look in the right-hand side in that first measurement, Integris, and check it against that measurement, Empathetic, and see if it's been easier for you to see it in others than in yourself, because here's the message for all. If we are having trouble seeing it in ourselves, we are not seeing it in others. In other words, there is a huge gift. The single most important gift you need to drive your businesses is not being fully utilized, maybe partially at best. The noise inside our own head about ourself is robbing you and them of your greatest gift, all. It is time to go back to those seven principles of intrinsic validation and surrender with great faith and let go of that which we cannot get back and begin to find purpose in our suffering by serving others. Second word, we want to be genuine. Now, you've heard me talk about this a little bit in the past. Genuine is not what we think it is. It's not, we sometimes confuse it with the word authentic, you know, the genuine article. It's genuine leather. Well, it's true in the sense that it's being all the leather that it can be. It's really leather. It's being all that it can be. From an etymological, historical definition of genuine, the root word is genie or genius. Now, a genie is in a bottle, right? We've got this genie inside of us, our natural genius. When we truly own our genius, that's when we're being genuine. Genuine. Now, this isn't about flaunting anything. I want to be careful. We're not flaunting our ability. We're not being a braggart. That's not what this means, because that would be overcompensation for a lack of self-esteem. When we talk about owning our genius, it's more about respecting and honoring and being grateful for our gifts. Now, you know this. We've talked about procrastination before, that when you're putting off something you don't want to do, you're burying your genius with fear. Og says, my procrastination, which was born of fear, has held me back. We know that it's fear. Fear that I don't have enough time. Fear that I'm not good enough. Fear that I don't have enough energy. Whatever the fear might be, it is burying our genius. When we finally have no choice but to jump in and do it, our genius can finally come alive, and we go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? We're surprised. If you're surprised when you jump in how easy it is, you haven't owned your genius. You're burying it. When you own your genius, you act in spite of fear, and you're rewarded with equanimity, as Og calls it, peace of mind. What a great thing. The last one. The last one is authentic. Authentic. And this is dangerous when I share this, because people can misunderstand it very easily. It means to act on your own moral authority. To act on your own moral authority. Now, that doesn't mean you make up your own rules. is that you willingly submit to the rules. You do the right thing for the right reason because you want to. Judy said it earlier. You trust yourself. If you're a church-going person, you go to church because you love the Lord, if that's why you go, if that's your religious belief system. If you pick up the phone, you do it because you want to bless people's lives. You are self-directed, self-motivated. It's a fire that burns inside of you, Yogg said, that's been passed from generations uncounted. It's a constant irritation to my soul to be better than I am, and I will be. When you wake that up and you embrace that peace and you get out of bed in the morning and you command and you obey your own command, I can tell you, you will feel differently about yourself throughout the day. It's when we're in resistance to that, and we're rebelling, we're not reading our scroll, we're not studying the six qualities of an intentional creator, we're not making our phone calls, we're not doing the things we should be doing. That's what creates some of this doubt and fear and frustration about ourselves. When you are in charge of your life, authentic, authos hectic, acting on your own moral authority, your life will come alive. So imagine that, being real, creating relationships, genuine, owning your genius, which you will do when you're in action. It is a second great way to heal yourself. The first was stepping into people's worlds and serving them. The second one is when you're in action, just in action, and you're consciously in action. And that power that governs abundance endows you with even more ability beyond what you have because you're fully using what you've got. That is such a wonderful moment. So genuine and authentic. That's where we want to be. And we want to let go of the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I want to put you through a very specific exercise tonight. Just know that when we need to impress people, it's because we feel less than. So we take what we have and we make a big deal about it. Make a big deal about it. It might make us feel better about ourselves, but it rarely blesses another person's life. The other is pretend. Anybody on the phone ever pretended they're making more money than they are, or their business is better than it is? You know, the fake it till you make it kind of thing? And you keep getting asked by people, how much money do you make? Because those thought processes are back there, and they just invite that kind of question. We feel shame from past mistakes. Read Scroll 5 if you've got shame. I reread Og Mandino's story today when he almost committed suicide. He'd lost his wife and his daughter to his alcoholism. Oh, just a devastating story. And he wrote in Scroll 5, can I take back the blows that were struck, the words that were spoken? Oh. If you've got anything you feel ashamed about, go back and read Scroll 5. It's time to let that go so you're not dragging shame into today. Yes, there was a mistake made. Do what you can to correct it, but don't waste today too, and then the next day, and then the next day. You're just compounding the damage from a mistake. And fear, the greatest source of fear is an unmet expectation. Greatest source of fear. When life shows up differently, we feel that anxious feeling, false evidence appearing real, that fear. Well, it's time for us to get to know ourselves a little better. Because one of the other great ways to heal is to find yourself. I want to take you to a very special place. I'm just... going to a piece here. There we go. Ah, here it is. I narrate this in the program, Self-Esteem, but I want to do it with you tonight. We know what causes it, unmet expectations. and losing our identity. We know that we want to be real and genuine and authentic, build relationships, own our genius, act on our own moral authority. We know that we can heal it by connecting with people. We know that we can heal our self-esteem by taking action. And in taking action, someone is put on our path that we can serve and people that will serve us. We start to develop that relationship with the power that governs abundance. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. You get an impression. You act on it. The veracity is verified. You know that that power has spoken to you, trusted you with that person. You've acted and served, and that person's life's been blessed. And you go back at the end of the day and you say, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for taking it, for opening your mouth, for acting. I trust you. You say, I trust you too. When you know that the power that governs abundance knows your name, your self-esteem will begin to heal. That's another piece. The last piece is we learn to be quiet. We learn to step back from and hear these thought processes for what they are. In the time we have left tonight, I want to put you through an exercise if you'll be willing to do so. Trust me, I'm not going to hypnotize you. I just want you to get somewhere comfortable and private. So go somewhere where you're comfortable and you're private. And know that what I'm going to share with you is also recorded in the section on self-esteem as its own section. It's going to set to music so that you'll be able to listen to it often and go back to this place. So if you're ready, I want you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Get comfortable in your chair or on your couch, wherever you are. I want you to relax your head. Just turn your head just a little bit. Just feel it. Relax your neck and your shoulders. Now, take a deep breath and just let it exhale. I want you to step back and let go of your thoughts. Let go of the need to impress anyone inside or outside the room that you're in. The need to feel ashamed about a weakness or an imperfection or a past mistake. The need to pretend that you're strong or smart or perfect. And any other worry or fear or anxiety that you brought with you today. Financial concerns, relationship concerns, just let all of that go. Just let it go for a moment. And just be here with me. Now take a few slow, deep breaths. Just exhale. Exhale. Now usually, this is the time when your thoughts will get very active and very busy. From one, you may hear about how dumb or silly this activity may seem. Just tell it to be quiet. Just let it go. Another may try to convince you that this is nonsense, and you can't live without thinking. Oh, step back. Just be the listener. Just hear it. Let it go. Another may advise you to act frustrated or tired or disinterested or preoccupied. You may want to check your email or something while we're... Just let it go. Just let it go. Another may argue that there is something inherently wrong with letting your mind be quiet so that you can experience being you. And the most insecure thoughts that will show up will advise you that you are giving up control of your life when in fact you are finally taking control of your thoughts. Step back here with me. Just listen to them. Oh my goodness. Acknowledge them. Thank them for their input, and then let them go. Remember, you are not your thoughts. You are the observer of your thoughts. That's the real you. Now take a few slow breaths. Notice the air filling your lungs and being expelled. Let go of the need to impress or pretend. Any need to feel ashamed, any need to fear, any worries, just let them go. Just for a few moments, just let them go. Now, if your thoughts are still trying to get your attention, know that they are very uncomfortable with the idea that you can exist without them. Just relax. How often have you allowed these thoughts to control you? How often have you procrastinated or avoided, experienced fear or anxiety? How often have these thoughts had such control that they destroyed a relationship or a business opportunity? Now, if you're having any thoughts, just notice what they're doing. Don't judge them. Just notice them. Step back. Let them go. Take just a few more deep breaths. Continue to relax and observe. Quiet your thoughts. Notice when they try to jump back into action. Notice them. Let them go. There's nothing to do, nothing to try, nothing to get right. Just observe. Because from here, the need to impress others will seem really shallow. The need to pretend, immature. The need to feel ashamed, wasteful. And the need to fear, simply childish. Notice your body. Feel your fingers, your toes, your eyes, your nose. Don't make any judgments. Just continue to relax and observe. And once you find this place, you know that you are not dependent on any mortal or any material thing to be whole and complete. You are unique. You are priceless. You are beyond value. Listen to those thoughts. Try to attack those statements. Yes, but you did this, and yes, but you did that. Let those go. You don't have to do anything, try anything, be anything other than just the observer to be priceless and unique. From here, you can simply be real, genuine, and authentic, with no need to impress, pretend, feel ashamed, or fear. From here, you can see yourself the way you are seen by the power that governs abundance. Priceless, unique, your greatest cheerleader, ready to be your partner and bring abundance to the lives of others. Just be here for a few moments. Just be quiet. And when you're ready, open your eyes. I'm going to put this in the program, something similar to this, so that every once in a while when the noise is screaming, you can just go put it on, listen to it, with some music that will quiet your mind. So that you can know who you really are, priceless and unique. We can spend a lifetime trying to find out why we feel the way we feel. It's like a big black hole. We go deeper and deeper, and the deeper we go, the more dense it becomes till there's no light. The advice given 2,000 years ago, that if you want to find yourself, lose yourself in the service of others. As you do, you will heal. You'll be whole. You'll be complete. Imagine being able to talk to any anyone anywhere without fear or anxiety. No need to pretend, impress, feel ashamed or fear. Just real, genuine, authentic. That's attractive. In fact, the very law of attraction is based on this principle. A lot of people tell you there's a lot of things involved, but it's really simple. When you're real and genuine and authentic, people will be drawn to you because they'll want what you have. They'll want to be like you. Because that's what most people want above it all. They want enough money so they can have peace of mind. When you discover that you don't need money to have peace of mind, then you can be about creating wealth for the right purpose, to bless the lives of other people. You can live in beautiful homes, have beautiful cabins, drive wonderful cars, have great toys, wonderful investments, and you get to be a full-time partner with God in bringing abundance to the lives of others. Oh, what a way to live. May we have courage tonight, to just be still long enough to connect with who we really are. You're going to leave this call, and some of you are stepping back into a firestorm. Don't let it consume you. Don't let the thoughts consume you. I want to take just a moment. If there's anyone that would like to share anything from their experience tonight or any questions or comments, I'm going to stay on the line for a few more minutes if you need to go, because we're past our 8 o'clock schedule. If you need to leave, we'd understand. If you've got a question or just want to just be with us for a few moments, stay on the line with us. Is there anyone that would like to share? Anyone that was able to finally quiet the noise in their head for just a moment?
Lincoln.
Hi, Lincoln.
I just wanted to share, I've been working with you for quite some time, and one of the things that really impacted me is one of these calls a while ago, you indicated that something similar about how when we're stepping in other people's worlds, we should leave our baggage at the door. And I recognized when I heard that I had colored many of my relationships with my own baggage, and that my lack of esteem, my fear approaching them, or my fear that I'm not good enough, had impacted those relationships. And just knowing that throughout the day, I've been more aware when I talk to people, to leave my baggage at the door. It's not about me, it's about them. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that.
You're welcome. Lincoln, what's the difference in the quality of your performance when you are totally outside your own fear and anxiety versus when you're buried in it?
The connection I make with people is deeper. For example, today I was talking with a gentleman, and he just said, you knew all the right questions to ask. And I hadn't been conscious of a technique of asking questions. I had just been thinking about, well, how can I serve, and what can we do, and what does he really need? And in the process of that, I was able to connect with him at a deeper level. Plus, it's allowed me to do things that I've never thought I'm capable of doing. I'm now doing those things and doing them well.
Last question for those listening. Can people tell the difference between when you show up whole and when you show up in fear?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Really, really easily, very quickly.
Yeah, you cannot hide it. A person's mirror neurons pick up that anxiety and send warning signals to a person's body before they have a conscious thought. They feel uncomfortable because you're uncomfortable. Not speaking of you, Lincoln, but anyone on the phone. Mm-hmm. So when you're real and genuine and authentic and you show up in that space, a person's mirror neurons read comfortable, safe, trusting, and they feel comfortable, and as a result, they have the release of chemicals in their body that make them feel open and accepting and drawn to and wanting to know more about, because it's very unusual. It's very unusual to find someone who is whole and complete. Be that person starting today. It's a journey. You know, the Chicago dream for me didn't happen until I was in my 50s, about 3.5-4 years ago. It was a big piece of my self-esteem puzzle. You'll have time to work through this, and the better it gets, the more effective you'll become in your business, the more success you'll realize in your life. Well, we want to thank everybody for being on the call tonight. Enjoy this section. If you've got your seven laws and you've already got your other pieces opening up in your library, you can expect this one to be recorded and finished by next Tuesday. You'll see self-esteem up, and you can go back and listen to each one of these pieces in more detail and listen to the audio to quiet your mind. Go connect with people. Use your mind constructively. Complete tasks. Be in action. Those are the ways to heal your self-esteem. It's when you're authentic, acting on your own moral authority, doing the right thing for the right reason, your soul will awaken. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.